Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, no voice edition, bonus episode.
God, your voice sounds terrible.
Yeah, you can thank the main event for this voice.
Oh my God. Yeah, you can really tell we were there live based on mostly Nick's raspiness, even though I was the one screaming my face off for 2 nights.
Yeah. I'm Nick alongside a vocally better, but I think physically worse Emily.
I'm sore.
Emily, how you doing?
My knees hurt.
Emily, are you excited to talk about WrestleMania 36, the first WrestleMania we went to?
Yeah, we should talk about that, how this is pretty much 4 years in the making. So the first time we tried to go to WrestleMania, we bought tickets to WrestleMania 36 down in Florida, and then this crazy thing happened where the world shut down.
Yeah. Admittedly, I don't remember why we didn't go the next year, but
I don't think it was convenient. We had a whole plan in Florida. We had people to stay with. We had a trip.
Well, like, I think additionally it was, COVID's still a pretty big thing.
That's true too, yeah.
That failed our stupid test of, would we seem stupid if we got COVID doing this thing?
Yes.
So yeah, we're here today to talk about WrestleMania 40.
Woo! We just got back. Well, we should have gotten back this morning, but we got back late last night.
Yeah, so apparently, a local municipal can shut down a hotel for structural issues. And they not tell you at all.
Yeah, we learned a lot
they
about local politics.
They technically didn't tell us. It just said on the door, hotel closed.
So what happened is we booked a hotel through Priceline. We rolled up to the hotel on Saturday afternoon. We went and saw my family. We went to the hotel. We stopped to get coffee. It was
we literally got there, I think it was 5 minutes after check-in started.
Yeah, so it was like 4:05, give or take. We roll up. I see on one side of the building, there are just like printer paper printouts on the doors that say hotel temporarily closed.
And there's no cars here.
But there were people at the front of the hotel in a car unloading luggage. So I was like, that's weird. Maybe those signs are just like, maybe the doors don't work. I don't know. Still pretending everything's fine. We roll up. Those same signs are on the front door. And everybody that's in front of the hotel is also wearing WrestleMania shirts. And one girl was wearing an Austin 316 shirt. You knew that these were people here for WrestleMania doing exactly what we were doing. And they were all just kind of standing there awkwardly. So you park the car, get out.
And there's a little note in the door that says, like, structural, like, no one can be in here. And
and Priceline was not that helpful.
No. Don't worry. They gave us a...
They refunded our hotel, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and they gave us $32 because they felt bad.
I just need to know where they got the number 32.
I don't know. So instead, we had to drive. Luckily, it was only an hour and a half back and forth.
Yeah, the people that were in front of the hotel, they had like a 4 hour trip. Yeah. So they were kind of screwed. We were lucky.
Yeah, because every hotel was mostly sold out, / we booked our hotel early. So it was cheaper then.
Yeah.
And then it was, then on the day, it was like $350 a night for a comfort inn.
Oh my God, yeah.
So we started WrestleMania in a very bad mood.
We started the weekend in a bad mood. The second we got to the show, everything was fine. However, you said it was closed due to structural issues. It should be noted that 24 hours prior to this check-in, an earthquake hit the East Coast. A minor earthquake, but we don't get earthquakes often. So when, like, a light bulb moment happened later in the day where you were like, structural issues, there was just an earthquake. The fucking earthquake shut down our hotel. So that is technically two natural disasters, and I'm calling the pandemic a natural disaster, that have impacted our WrestleMania experience.
Well,
we are cursed. We can't go to WrestleMania again. The world actually might end.
Emily, speaking of disasters, if you look to your right, you will see a prime bomb sitting next to you. This is a double prime bomb.
Let me explain to you the journey of this prime.
It's getting warm, Emily. Can we do it and then you tell the story?
Fine. All right. So what happened is we have the prime blue raspberry energy drink, and then we made a vodka with the prime
like powder.
Ice pop powder that we like mixed in with it. So it's prime in prime.
All right. Well, this might go horribly. Let's find out.
I don't know if I can chug this.
I'm doing the
oh, you're pouring? Shot. Okay. Yeah. Right. 3, 2, 1. Prime! I really hate that this isn't that bad.
Ah.
I really hate that I kind of like it. I am a Red Bull girl till I die, but this isn't bad, and I want it to be bad so badly. Anyway, let me tell you about this journey about Prime, while Nick also sips on another Prime cocktail that he made. So like a month and a half ago, give or take, Nick went to the grocery store and bought every version of Prime he could find. He bought the refresher.
I bought three things.
He bought the refresher. He bought the energy drink. And the powder packets.
Yes. Admittedly, I bought the same flavor refresher as the powder packet. I bought the
ice pop. Yeah, it was the ice pop, yeah. I don't remember why, but I drank one of the energy drinks, I think, on this podcast.
I think we did a bomb with it on the podcast for a future episode.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So coming soon.
We recorded a lot of things early. So he had to go buy more. So we have given Logan Paul more money than we should ever give Logan Paul over this mid-tier energy drink.
So Emily said that I had to drink my college drink, which I used to drink a red Gatorade and Captain Morgan. And so this is the Ice Pop Refresher Prime with Captain Morgan.
Ew.
It's not great.
Is it better or worse than red Gatorade and Captain?
It's on a similar level.
Yeah, Nick gave me a lot of crap for my college drink, which was sweet tea and vodka, which obviously wasn't that bad because Twisted Tea exists. They didn't turn that into a freaking bottled cocktail, did they?
Well, I was giving you shit because you used Grey Goose.
Okay, I used what I had available. Anyway, so shall we get more into the story of this weekend?
Yeah, I guess one of the first to talk about is, Emily, how are you temperature-wise?
Better now.
Yeah, are you warmer now? Because it
was
now. Fucking chilly on Saturday. Like, everyone's like, oh, the crowd sucked. We were cold, motherfucker.
We were freezing. Oh my God, it was like, the temperature on the screen made me feel stupid for being as cold as I was. Because if you look at the number, 52 is not that cold. We were wearing, you know, long pants and we had jackets. And 52 in a vacuum is not that cold, especially for where we are in the world. Put a freaking wind chill on that and then make the sun go away. I was shaking. I was freezing. And everybody else around us was too. Nobody was dressed appropriately. We weren't prepared. We had no layers.
And we weren't willing to go buy a WrestleMania hoodie.
Yeah, there was a point in the night where you looked at me and I was like shaking and you said, the WrestleMania beanie's only $32. I was like, no. I will suffer and will be bitter tomorrow. So everybody who said the wrestling crowd sucked, shut up.
Yeah, it's like, oh wow, night two they came alive. Yeah, yeah. We all dressed warmer.
We all prepared better, and night one was a little draggy. Also, to add to the fact that we were cold, do you know how expensive alcohol is? Because usually the answer when you're cold is like, go get a drink. I'm not paying $20 for a beer every time I'm chilly.
Yeah.
I'm already spending so much money on this show. I'm not doing that.
We've
cheated the system.
Well, we've discovered this because we did this at a Raw too. That if you find a stand that sells a whole bottle of wine, it's way cheaper relative to per glass.
Yes. So you get a whole bottle of wine in a carafe that you get to take home, which is also what we made the Prime vodka in for $50, which is still too expensive. But when you compare that to getting two beers for $40. I'll get the wine any day.
Yeah, and I didn't see the brand, so I can pretend.
Yeah, we can pretend that it was a $50 bottle and not...
It's not, here's 24 ounces of Budweiser.
It was totally Sutter Home. Like, it was cheap, but who cares?
So, Emily, let's get into the actual, I guess, show of WrestleMania XL.
XL.
Live from Lincoln Financial Field on April 6th and 7th.
So, you've been to... This is your third WrestleMania live.
Yes, I've been to 28, 29, and 40.
How did this set feel to you? It's really just a big XL, but how did it look to you?
It was fine. I was focused a little more on the stuff behind it, because I think everyone's least favorite set of any of the WrestleManias is 35, where it was literally just big screen, like no layering or anything. Like, this was divvied up.
Sure, yeah. So there was a little bit of dimension to it.
Yeah, and the WrestleMania letters on top, and like, yeah, it was good.
I liked it.
It was an all-time classic, but it was good.
No, I thought it looked cool, though. It was clean. It wasn't too busy. You knew what you were looking at.
Yeah, they actually did do the effort of making graphics specific to the XL for the most part.
So, yeah.
That helped.
That was really cool. Like, they at least incorporated the XL into the, like, lighting design and that kind of stuff.
We get Coco Jones performing the national anthem. I do not know this person.
No, but she was great.
And then Triple H comes out to welcome us to WrestleMania in a new era. And you know it's a new era because we got a new start of the show graphic.
Yeah, that was a surprise. I wonder if they're going to like continue on with that or if that was just like WrestleMania specific.
There was apparently an outro one too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we should also preface, we are doing this entirely based off of our live experience. We have not watched the broadcasts of either night yet.
Yeah, I checked 4 minutes of night one because there were issues in the arena. There were not issues on the broadcast.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we're not going to talk about commentary. We're not going to talk about any of the like you said, night one. We're not going to get any of the backstage stuff because the audio wasn't coming through the arena.
Yeah, we also didn't watch any of the pre-show. They said the show started at 6:30. That was a lie.
Yeah, we were sat and ready at 6:30, and then it became 6:35, and then 6:40, and then 6:50, and then all of a sudden the countdown starts for the show, and I'm like, well.
But our opening match on night one is Rhea Ripley defeating Becky Lynch.
Spoilers.
I mean, and I say defeated up front because I don't have play-by-play for these. It's very much just going to be general thoughts and then move it on.
Yeah, like we said, we didn't really get... We were also challenging ourselves because we had really good seats. We were challenging ourselves to not look at the screens during matches. We were just trying to watch the people in the ring.
Which, yeah, the we didn't have an issue with the lighting.
That's a night two thing. Do you want to talk about that now?
No, we'll get into that then. We were around some annoying people. Everybody wanted to be a play-by-play or color commentator or people who had never watched wrestling. And so we had to listen to a whole PowerPoint throughout the whole night of, well, he's doing this because this. And I'm just
it was very annoying.
Yeah. But yeah, Rhea and Becky, I said to you yesterday, and this is a weird praise for this match, it felt like a early 2010s WWE main event.
Mm.
And I say that as someone who likes a lot of those matches. It was structured kind of like that.
Okay. It was a good match. I really did enjoy it. This was a good opener.
I don't have a lot of thoughts on Rhea's entrance. Some people were like, oh, he like though. Horrible performance. I'm like, I thought it was fine.
I thought it was great.
I don't really like the song, so.
No, but the performance wasn't bad in comparison to the actual song that she comes out. Like, the live performance versus the recorded performance. Like, I thought they were great. I thought they had a good energy. I thought they matched Rhea pretty well. I thought it was awesome. I loved Rhea's new look, too. The long hair, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
I love it.
I can't believe she grew it out that fast.
I know. Women are magic.
But yeah, Rhea won with hitting a riptide on Becky on the like turnbuckle and then one in the middle of the ring. And
Yeah,
I really thought Becky was gonna win this. It seemed
Me
like
too.
They were building to that. And it's almost the Roman Reigns problem now where like, who do you have beat her?
Yeah, that is true. There were some theories that because both she and, spoiler, Seth lost, that they're going to take some time off.
According to her contract is up soon. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a good opener. Both of these women are able to rise to the WrestleMania occasion of
oh,
it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've not, as much as we weren't as into the Charlotte and Rhea match last year as everybody else, still, like, it felt like a WrestleMania
match. It did. It definitely felt like a WrestleMania match, and it felt like a WrestleMania caliber match. Because we've talked about a lot of WrestleManias at this point, and there's always one or two matches that it's just like, why? Why did this have to be on WrestleMania? This did not feel like one of those.
I was trying to figure out which match from WrestleMania 9 to dunk on, and I'm like, there's so many choices.
All of them.
Our second match of night one is the six-team ladder match. Now, Emily, can you name the six teams from memory?
Yes, I can do this. Awesome Truth, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, DIY.
Yes.
New Day.
Yes. You missed the champions coming in.
I'm missing two teams. I don't know. I've lost them. They've fallen out of my brain.
The Judgment Day.
Oh. Fuck them. Who needs them?
And the one I knew you were not going to get the name of was New Catch Republic.
Yeah, I know they exist. That it's not catchy. I can't keep that in my head.
So they bring the titles down, and you can see the titles are about like 8 feet apart. And I'm like, okay, they're splitting these tag titles up.
Which was a prediction that Nick had going into this. And I was like, no, they're not.
They were almost hitting the note of this match will go until both sets of tag titles have been taken down. They were hitting it so hard. I'm like, is this meant to be like a swerve? But
this was a really fun match. I liked this match a lot. I have actually never seen a ladder match in person, and I love a ladder match. Like, we've talked about how much I enjoy ladder matches and TLC matches for, you know, ages on this podcast. So seeing it in person was really cool for me. And the fact that it did eventually kind of turn into a TLC match because the tables got pulled and there were chairs involved, and like, it was so cool. I had a lot of fun with this match.
So the result of this match is that Theory and Waller take down the SmackDown tag titles like halfway
Fairly
through the
quickly.
Match. Which I can't believe the Awesome Truth and DIY managed to get the crowd into the idea of like, no, let's just both go up there and get one.
Oh, yeah. Alliance.
Yeah.
I liked that. That was very R-Truth of that.
Yeah.
R-Truth still did the weird like tag thing.
Yeah, got the hot tag, got the pin.
Yeah.
Awesome Truth end up winning the Raw tag titles. I can see them losing this tonight on Raw. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see a lengthy reign happening with these guys.
I don't see them losing it tonight. I see them losing it before the month ends. Like, I don't think they're going into May with these titles.
Okay. But, you know, it's a big multi-person ladder match with a lot of talented people, so it's going to be good.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was awesome.
And honestly, I think the fact that it was the two titles helped.
Yeah.
Because it really felt like anyone could win.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, all the teams were really equivalent. There was no standout tag team that was definitely going to dominate. Like, you know, we talk about the Judgment Day, but you've had theories that the Judgment Day is, you know, on its way to dissolving.
Okay, we both said that last year, at the end of last year's episode.
Yeah, no, you're right. So it's been on its way out for a year, but who knows at this point? I felt really privileged to see a tables, ladders, and chairs match like this. This was really cool for me.
Let's move into our third match of the night. It is Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar versus Rey Mysterio and Andrade. Which, this is just a weird build for this match going in. Like, it felt rushed. The fact that you changed the team in, like, the last week and, like, Dom's suddenly involved. And this match is just okay.
Unfortunately, this was a pretty tune-out match. Yeah. It was kind of slow. It was kind of boring. Which sucks because it's Rey Mysterio and I love Rey Mysterio. The stage for him looked awesome, though, with his Titantron. That looked so cool. I took a picture of his. I was really, really ready for Andrade to turn on Rey. Or Carlito. Carlito hasn't been doing anything. Andrade's been in the story enough where he's like kind of partnering with Dom. My prediction was that Andrade was going to turn on Rey like at the beginning of the match. And then it was going to be a handicap against Rey. That would have been better to me. That would have been a better story and more interesting to watch.
Andrade turns on Rey. Carlito then joins the team. Also turns on Rey.
Yeah, that would have been more interesting. Unfortunately, this was a very cut and dry match until the ending.
Yeah, where two masked, large, burly men hop the barricade and attack Dominic Mysterio, throw him in the ring. They are revealed to be Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson.
Jason Kelsey!
Lane Johnson is a offensive tackle for the Eagles.
So
he's the right tackle.
I think that Jason Kelsey talking about going to WrestleMania kind of made pseudo-mainstream news. Because before we went to the first night of WrestleMania, we went and visited my aunt and uncle who don't live far. And they were asking me, like, is Jason Kelsey going to be there tonight? I was like, why do you think that?
They thought he was going to do something with The Rock because The Rock said something about Jalen Hurts. And that's enough.
My 80-something-year-old great aunt came over to visit as well. And we told her we were going to WrestleMania. And she, who never has watched wrestling before, looks at me and goes, oh, is The Rock going to be there? How do you know any of this?
So Rey and Andrade end up getting the victory with the help from the Eagles. And I guess Rey was in Eagles gear, but it felt weird that this was the match that they had this involvement in.
Well, if you remember after the Super Bowl, Jason Kelsey's been practicing his lucha look for a while. I love it. I thought it was awesome.
Moving on, we get our brother versus brother for the third time at WrestleMania.
This was another unfortunate tune-out match. I was ready for this to be better.
It's Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso. And actually, first we have Lil Wayne performing.
The way you put the T's in the Lil Wayne. So Lil Wayne comes out, and I don't know his music well enough to like know the titles of the songs, but he has a song that's like, omelet, omelet, omelet. Like, it was popular like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
He sings like two lines of it. He comes out, and I thought we were going to get a full performance. He sings literally two lines, and then Jey's music hits. It's like, what was the point, Lil Wayne? Why were you here?
Which I just realized, we didn't get the Meek Mill performance we thought we were getting.
Yeah. I'm wondering if something happened, like where he canceled on them. Because night two ended fairly early. I wonder.
This match was like 80% super kicks.
Yo, I heard you like super kicks.
Yeah, this match was a lot closer to Matt and Jeff than it was Brett and Owen.
That's true. The story of these two is tired at this point.
Well, it was white hot after SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved Jey to Raw and like...
And then it entirely fizzled.
Yeah, they just kind of like jumped in and out of it. Yeah. Like Jimmy would show up on Raw to like interfere, and like it didn't feel like the big hot build they wanted. No. Like, they lost a lot of steam from that initial angle.
Yeah, I mean, SummerSlam was, like, 9 months ago.
Yeah.
That's a long time to let something die, and die it did. It's just been boring. Like, I know I've always held the opinion that the Bloodline storyline is pretty boring. I saw somebody, like, read into the, like, psychology of it this morning, which actually did make me like it a little bit more, and we'll get into that in the last match of night two. But these two were never enough of a like plot point for me to grab onto. I just never cared.
Yeah, and they do a spot where Jimmy tries to apologize, but it's a fake out, and like crowd didn't kind of believe him for a second, and then like Jay just kind of wins. It was like, oh yeah. Like it kind of feels like, okay, well, you did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now what?
If it wasn't for them interacting at night two, I'd be like, well, that story's over.
Yeah, seriously. And I'd be okay with that.
Let's go to our next match. It is Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi defeating Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai, also known as Damage Control. Or Damage Control.
We have dubbed the team of Naomi, Jade, and Bianca as the Muscle Mommies. Because holy shit, these women are built.
Admittedly, I think Naomi's getting some residuals from that because she's in shape, but not like Bianca and Jade.
No, but like they all still looked so good and their entrance was so sick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So they came out and the three of the Muscle Mommies stood on this platform that got raised above the rest of the stage level, and it was just lit in silhouette. It was dark. All you could see was the lights on Naomi's hat, not her whole costume, but her hat. And then you could see Jade like holding her arms up and Bianca twisting her braid. And just in the silhouette, it looked so sick. It was so cool. Oh, I love them.
They were talking about that during the post-show press conference. They're like, during rehearsals, we were freezing.
Yeah.
It's like for the actual match, like an adrenaline hit. It was great. But Jade was going for like a storm kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Naomi had a like Cyclops kind of like glasses. I don't know enough about X-Men to know what Naomi was going for.
I didn't even know they were going for X-Men. I thought Jade was just going for a storm vibe. I thought that Naomi was going for more like Miss Carter with the hat. Yeah, I don't know. Either way, they looked so good. It was so cool. Unfortunately, they really overshadowed Damage Control for me.
Yeah.
There was apparently
Damage Control was never going to win.
Apparently, there was like a missed shot. We didn't see it.
Jade ducks a Asuka missed shot, which catches Kairi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Could not see that from where we were. I bet it looked cool on TV.
Yeah, this was just a showcase match for Jade. Like, literally, the entire match just builds the hot tag, and then she kills everybody.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Also, in the post-show, they were talking about how, like, important this match was.
I mean, in a vacuum, it's pretty cool to see, like, a team of three strong black women in their 30s being this dominant and this great in WrestleMania, a company that is not historically kind to black people or women, or black women especially. I don't know if I call it historic, but it's really fucking cool to see.
I think, because you keep saying how like historic it is, I think because they can't talk about Sasha, it just feels like they kind of like erased that, where it's like, no, this is like our big moment. I'm like, yeah, two black women main event WrestleMania.
Yes, and the best match ever.
Yeah, like that is objectively bigger than three of you teaming up in a random six-woman tag.
I definitely agree. Like, I think this was incredible for representation, and I think that like these three women being as talented as they are really makes a case even stronger for them. But yeah, Bianca and Sasha was more historic.
Let's move into our second and last match of the night for the Intercontinental title. It is Sami Zayn versus the Ring General, Gunther.
The Ring General. So, I don't know if you caught this. There were four or five men sitting in front of us in the crowd. They were German. I think they were there, like, for Gunther, because they were into this match. And, like, multiple times through the night, they kept turning around and looking at me after I was loud and just, like, giving me the dirtiest look.
Oh.
I was getting German stink eye all night.
Was one of these guys the guy who was tweeting at WWE? He was on the screen.
Yeah. So, in his defense, there was like a couple times where the screen right above the ring
the thing you should be looking at
didn't turn on immediately. where it would take like 30, 40 seconds to turn on. This guy in front of us, if it wasn't on the second the bell rang, he's on his phone tweeting at WWE.
I wanted to find
3 seconds later, it'd be like, fucking chill, dude. It's on. It's fine.
I wanted to find the tweets and respond to them.
We have like, dude, we're behind you. We can see just fine.
Yeah, but also when the night two light problems were happening, I literally said, I'm like, it's fine. I'm literally in the same section. Then it turns around and is like, I have sensitive eyes.
Then maybe don't look at the light. We'll get into the lights later. Yeah. That like made me heated.
Well, yeah, Sammy versus Gunther. This was a very good match.
I love the like. So I don't know what it is. Maybe he like intentionally did it because it was WrestleMania. But Ludwig Kaiser, he took Gunther's coat and did like a whole swishy shot. I know he does it usually.
Yeah, there was,
like
it was
that,
a little extra.
But there was a little stank on it last night.
Yeah, but they did not come out to the ring with Gunther. Like, there's been no interference minus the Eagles.
Barely even, like, and ringside bit, support. Yeah. Like, not even interference, but nobody even came ringside with their teams.
Yeah.
It was weird. It's very not WCW of them.
The story of this match is basically that Gunther is just killing Sammy as Sammy's wife watches, and Gunther keeps taunting her, and she literally gives him, like, a boy bye.
I love her. She's iconic.
We could not hear the little pre-match hype up. He was talking to his wife and Chad Gable and Kevin Owens.
This was where some of the audio issues came in. We could see that a conversation was happening, but the audio was not coming through to the stadium.
Yeah, apparently it was Sammy doesn't want his son to watch, you know, this match because it's going to be brutal.
It wasn't that brutal,
was
it?
No, it just...
It didn't feel brutal.
No. Finish this match is Sammy hypes himself up, hits a haluva kick to Gunther on the top rope, then hits the top rope brainbuster, and then another haluva kick, and wins the Intercontinental title. Gunther's reign ends at 666 days.
This is awesome, though. I mean, Gunther had a crazy reign, and he was a good champion. No, this was a good match. This was a great reign. It really blew up that team. Like, it's made Ludwig Kaiser go off, kind of like become his own character. Giovanni Vinci hasn't really taken that. I don't know much about him, like his own in-ring style. He's just kind of like the third man. But this team is still so iconic. Like, that entrance will forever be in history.
I think I like both of these guys' matches last year a little better, but this is still very good.
Yeah, I think I agree. Like, Sammy's match last year was just fun.
And, I mean, Gunther's match is one of my top five favorites of all time.
Yeah. It was missing that element of fun, but God, was it a good match.
Yeah, and told a good story, too.
Yeah, it really did.
And speaking of stories, it's time for our main event.
Finish it.
It is Team Bloodline, Roman Reigns and Dwayne The Rock Johnson versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And a lot of the crowd in Philly kind of just seemed to be there for The Rock.
Yes, which kind of sucked. Like, I don't love that.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, this is the cool thing was kind of the vibe.
Mm-hmm. Which I love that people are seeing wrestling as cool again. I want that to continue, but I don't want that to continue on the back of some old guy that retired years ago.
People who think they're edgy, who listen to too much Limp Bizkit and just chanting, fuck your story. I'm like,
oh my God,
dude, calm down.
You can like who you like. If you are dead set Team Roman, awesome. If you're dead set Team Cody, cool. Why do we gotta be that aggressive, though? It doesn't make you cool to be that, like, like,
yeah,
like you said, Limp Bizkit really did a number on these guys.
Because I want to go to them, like, what do you want to do on Raw if that happens?
Yeah,
what's your plan going forward?
Write the rest of the week.
Yeah,
just the week.
I think they're gonna end up going hardcore Holly booking. It's like, put the title on me. What then? I beat everybody, and then what?
Profit.
All these guys got a pretty cool entrance.
Yes.
The fucking Rock's entrance, man. He only got the one big entrance, so
it was a good entrance.
Yeah. The big Brahma Bowl fire.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. It was long.
I also love 80 people on Twitter being like, oh wow, it started malfunctioning. It's like, no, he has to walk out of the fire. They had to fucking clear a little lane.
Yeah, malfunctioning? No. The Rock is flammable. The Rock will catch fire. This match started the way that I hate matches starting. They were all just standing in the ring staring at each other. I fucking hate that. It's so boring and slow. And it's like, what are we doing here, lads? Can we do something?
Yeah.
Can we hit a move? Why are we just walking at each other?
Yeah, this match goes 45 minutes.
Ugh. It didn't, honestly, it did not feel like 45 minutes in person.
I weirdly had a bigger issue with the crowd brawling than I did the stare down, because...
The crowd brawling was really frustrating. We're talking about the part in the match where Roman and Cody go up the stage, or up the ramp to the main stage, and Seth and Rock go out into the audience. They don't show this on two screens, at least not in the stadium. I don't know if they did on the broadcast, but we don't know where to look.
Yeah.
So big things are happening with The Rock. Cody suplex slams Roman on the main stage. We don't see that. No cuts to either of these guys. So it's like, look there, no look there, no look there. Like, I know we missed stuff.
Yeah, I'm never a fan of the, let's go 50 feet and I just kind of punch you once every 10 feet.
Yes. It's annoying. It's like self-gratuitous.
That said, once we get to the second half of this match, It picks up a lot and really works.
Yeah.
You were convinced at the double pedigree. Like, that's it.
I was. And it was a cool move.
Yeah.
I liked it. I was convinced.
But no really interference in this match. The closest you get is The Rock looking at the ref and saying, we're not doing countouts.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. He like points at him and like yells at the ref and the ref is counting them out.
Oh, I guess I didn't count.
Which is how they're able to go brawl into the crowd.
That makes sense. Got it. It was really cool to see The Rock wrestle, though.
I've been to 3 WrestleManias, and The Rock has main evented every single one of them.
Bizarre to me.
Night 2 is the first night of WrestleMania I've been to that did not have The Rock as a active participant in the match. He's still there. Awesome. He's still part of it. But the finish of this match is Cody goes for the triple crossroads. The Rock pulls a solo Sokoa and hits him with a strap before the third one. Roman hits a spear. Rock tags in. Rock bottom, people's elbow, and the bloodline of one, night two, is now bloodline rules.
I mean, did we expect anything different?
You did.
Of course I did. I wanted this to be Cody and Seth. I wanted more of the psychology to play into it of, like, maybe The Rock pins Cody and kind of, like, looks at Roman and is like, why can't you do that? Or, like, no, now it's your turn or something.
Yeah.
Something like that would have been cool, but nope.
I think we're going to get something like that on Raw.
You think so?
Or I guess on SmackDown. The fact that The Rock has beaten Cody Rhodes. That's something.
I'm excited for Raw tonight.
Yeah. This was an overall good, or it got to be a good match. It did not start as a good match, but it got there.
It started slow. It kind of dragged in the middle, but the end third was really good.
Yeah. There's a director's cut of this match that is...
excellent.
Yeah.
I don't like Roman Reigns matches. I find him to be very, like... You know, he has a kind of style that I just don't like. He's kind of slow. He's kind of tactile. He's more, I guess, technical, you could say. I find it kind of boring to watch. But it really did pick up, and I actually had a lot of fun at the end of this match.
Apparently, Pat McAfee scared everybody on commentary.
Really?
Because he said he's actively suffering from leukemia. Like, people thought it came back. And Roman got asked about it on the press conference, and it was like...
And he said no.
No, no. He's like, I have to take daily medication, like always. I'm going to have to do that the rest of my life. But, like, no, I'm still in remission. So, like, okay.
I had that same thought the other night when he came out. One of the TV episodes, like, this past week, he came out, and his face just looked a little bit more sunken than usual. And I looked at you, and I was like, I think he's sick again. So, when he lost, I was like... Are you taking some time off to go, like, get well again? But if he says he's in remission, that's awesome. Good for him.
Thoughts on night one overall?
It had really high highs and really mid lows.
Ironically, the lows were in the mid.
Yeah, exactly. It really did drag.
Yeah, it dragged in that middle. And, like, Sammy and Gunther got everybody awake again. But, like...
And unfortunately, when it starts to drag is when you start to think about how cold you are.
Yeah. Like,
oh, my God.
You know, crowd felt kind of spent after the ladder match. And then you had 2 matches that kind of under-delivered and one that, you know, it was cool. But, like, you knew Muscle Mommies were going to win. So it's hard to get a little invested. Plus, there wasn't much of a story in that.
No, like you said, it was a Jade Cargill showcase.
Yeah.
It was a good showcase. I'm not mad about it. I will watch it again. But it was not like a storyline match.
But people were saying this has a chance to be like the best WrestleMania of all time. And after night one, I was like, eh.
Night two, though. Night two was something else.
So before we get into night two, we had to drive home that night.
We sure did.
And then drive back the next afternoon because we went to the Jimmy Seafood Tailgoat.
We did.
Where you were able to meet a very tired Kurt Angle.
Yes. So the main reason we went to this tailgoat, one, it was open bar, free food, but it was hosted by Jimmy Seafood, which is a kind of Maryland, Baltimore staple. They do a lot of events around us. So it's like, oh, Maryland, hell yeah, let's go, brother. Felt like we were supporting more local business, but you're right. It was kind of a strange vibe.
Also, you know what they didn't have at a Jimmy's Seafood tailgate?
Seafood! There was not one crab cake.
Yeah, it was burgers, hot dogs, and chicken cutlets.
With some, like, mac salad. There was also Brussels sprouts. But it was just like, it's Jimmy's, and the whole name is Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Oh, I was very disappointed at the food spread. I mean, we got, like, we housed a couple hot dogs because I'm gonna eat hot dogs when I see a hot dog.
And I went to go tip the staff and I'm like, well, I guess I'll pay for one drink that's like not part of the open bar, just like to, you know, be able to give them a tip. And I got some Jameson and it was $18.50.
$18.50 for an ounce and a half of Jameson.
They might have given me a little more, but point stands.
Oh my God. You can buy a whole bottle of Jameson with that. That was criminal. You probably buy like a fifth or something.
Just you'd be a little short, but
whatever. Oh my God, that was egregious. So we were kind of worried going into that we weren't going to be able to like eat and drink our worth, because we paid, you know, a good amount of money to go to this tailgate. We wanted to like make it worth it.
Yeah, and next door was a tailgate with Ric Flair.
Yeah, so we were sitting with a Kurt Angle on our side, and inside was Ric Flair. But the second we got that receipt and we saw how much they were charging for alcohol, I had already had like four or five drinks. You'd already had like four or five drinks. I was like, oh, we have easily paid for this. We could stop drinking now, but that doesn't even count the hot dogs that I just housed. We have made our worth.
But yeah, Kurt Angle was there. He went up on the stage to kind of announce he was here. And it was like, yeah, I'm here. It's true. It's damn true. Like, oh, this is just sad.
It was kind of cool. Like, we were sitting at the bar, and he came out from the inside area, and he's, like, walked kind of right in front of us. And I looked at him, I was like, what's up, Kurt? And he kind of, like, glanced over at me. He's like, oh, my God, he saw me.
Yeah, so we could also see the VIP photo meet and greet. And the first round, he normally did, you know, shake the hand, get a photo. Like, you're not really meeting.
It's like a Comic-Con vibe. Yeah. You're paying to go have a handshake and a picture.
And then there was a second round later that was like, all right, in case anybody else wants to meet him. And he took that round sitting down, and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, but I was looking at that and going, I don't want to spend the extra money.
Don't meet your heroes.
Yeah. And Top Dollar was there and did a little rap.
Yeah, Top Dollar was there. Mojo Rawley, our crab boy, was there.
He was great.
He was really cool.
He was like co-emceeing.
Yeah. We came into this event and you found chairs at the bar. So you're like, we're booking it to the bar. We're going to get those seats.
Push past him.
You walk past him without even realizing. I had to like kind of squeeze by and I was like, oh my God, excuse me. And I look up and I'm like, that's Mojo Rawley. Yeah. And I look at you and I'm like, Nick.
I'm like, oh shit.
That was cool. It was fun, honestly. Like, yeah. I had a good time. The people there were really fun. There was somebody there in Shockmaster cosplay. They were wearing the bedazzled Stormtrooper helmet. They had a piece of cardboard around them as if they had just busted through a wall. It was hilarious. I loved it.
See, with that, you can't do the falling over bit once because everyone will ask you to do it.
Yes.
And you're just going to hurt yourself at that point.
The cardboard was the perfect amount.
Yeah.
At the end of the event, too, after we had finished all this, we needed a little bit more food because we were about to go to the show. So we go into the inside portion that's not part of the tailgate. It's now inside. It's like a food court sort of vibe. And we get these slices of pizza that were freaking massive. We ended up standing in line for these pizzas for like an hour.
Yeah.
But the whole time they were playing like top 10, top 20, top 50. Yeah, it was definitely on the Jumbotron from the network. It was cool. It was fun. Like I said, a lot of people were in costume. A lot of people were very high spirits. There was somebody dressed as La Parca, which was cool. Doing a little dance. You gave him a fist bump.
I think it was the person working the pizza, saw the La Parca person, and was like, what the fuck is that?
The workers had no idea what was going on.
But that brings us to night two.
Let's go.
We bundled up a little better.
We did. We layered better. Honestly, coming home in between was kind of a good thing because we did not pack to layer. We had t-shirts and a jacket.
Yeah, we would have had to have like found like a Target or something.
Yeah, we've had to go buy a hoodie. So we got to come home and, you know, re-strategize our outfits, which was really good. Night two was not as cold, unfortunately, so the bundling was kind of for naught. But I'm still really glad we did it.
Yeah, I don't think I actually put on my jacket at any point.
No, you never did.
But we get Warren Treaty performing America the Beautiful. I was wondering, like, are we done with America the Beautiful now that Vince is gone? It's like, no, okay. Night one's National Anthem. Night two is America the Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I can remember that.
They were awesome, too. They found some really good musicians this year. Those three singers, I guess, they were all awesome.
And then we get Stephanie McMahon welcoming us to WrestleMania.
I wasn't sure how the vibe was going to be with her coming out.
Yeah.
I thought we were very anti-McMahon, so when she came out, I was like,
ew. Well, half the internet's also convinced that she and Triple H are divorced.
What?
People want there to be things.
Y'all need hobbies. Start a podcast is a great hobby.
But also, right before the show actually started, we get CM Punk coming out to the ring.
CM Punk, he is the guest commentator for... Yes. They don't say the first match, they say just like... The guest commentator.
They announced previously it was going to be for the world title match.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the fact that he came out like beforehand, I'm like, are you going to be here all night?
He got like a full entrance and everything. It was pretty cool.
Which, you were officially incorrect. We did see CM Punk at WrestleMania.
That is true.
You did not think he would make it.
I thought that he would cut a promo in the ring. I thought that he would not wrestle. I knew that.
He was on the kickoff show, so he had been talking for...
Okay.
Yeah. Again, we didn't watch any of that. There was no pre-show match.
No. We stood behind the pre-show on the second night for like a minute.
Yeah. So behind JBL, so we might be in a camera shot.
There's one point that Nick raised a middle finger. Yeah. It's like, you might see him.
So if you see the kickoff show get blacked out for a second, it was me. But our opening match is Drew McIntyre versus Seth freaking Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Both these men got special entrances. Drew got the Roddy Piper theme.
This was really cool. So when they were doing the whole like Punk come to commentary thing, they had this slew of quote unquote Scotsmen come out to the ramp and like flank both sides. And they had a whole bagpipe band on the stage. And all the guys on the ramp held swords up to make like a tunnel for Drew. It was so freaking cool. And you, like, tangentially know one of the guys that held the sword, right?
Yeah, apparently MCW wrestler Ken Dixon was one of the people on the stage.
It was really cool. I was kind of trying to look out for him because I knew what he looked like. I couldn't see him. They also want
just big, burly, bearded men. So they're going for a similar look. Seth got an entrance that we didn't really recognize the significance of. Luckily, someone around us was from Philly and kind of new because it's like a Mardi Gras vibe, but it's for something local.
Yeah. So New Year's Eve in Philadelphia, they have something called the Mummers Parade. And the Mummers Parade is very similar vibe to Mardi Gras. It's big, colorful costumes, music.
It's like a little more Renfest.
A little, yeah.
Yeah. But Mardi Gras meets Renfest.
Yeah. It's very extravagant. This is a big thing every year. I forgot this was a thing, but the person sitting next to us, Jolene, shout out Jolene, was telling us, like, this is what they're going for. So I was very thankful to have that history. It was a really cool entrance. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was very Seth Rollins because, like, you couldn't tell where Seth was in the crowd. They were all dressed very, like, feathers and flamboyance, the way that he usually dresses. So you couldn't really pick him out until he had his, like, moment through the crowd.
You got to be careful, though. You might end up a little too Adam Rose. So the match itself is, it's basically Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar at 33, because it's just mostly finishers.
Yeah.
But it was still really good.
I liked it.
It was a good energy to start.
It was a really good energy to start. It was very fun.
Yeah, because, like, Seth, like, basically couldn't walk after last night. It was fine for his entrance, so.
Yeah, he did his little dance down the ramp. It was fine.
Drew hit a claymore to start the match, and everyone was like, holy shit!
Oh my god, yeah, he wasted no time starting this, like, to the point where the bell rang, and there's that whole wave of people, like, starting to sit down, grab your chair, move your stuff, and as everyone's, like, looking for their seat, he hits this claymore, and we're all like, what the fuck?
I know, 18 seconds has scarred this generation.
Like, everyone was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, so, lots of stomps, lots of claymores. Drew hits a claymore, wins. We cut to a shot of Seth looking upset. Some dickhead near us was like maniacally laughing. I'm like,
oh my God,
dude, chill the fuck out.
I think my least favorite thing that wrestling fans do is try to mimic the Seth Rollins laugh.
Was that?
I think he was doing that.
Oh.
I think that's what he was going for. Poorly, but it was just annoying and too long.
But Drew celebrates with winning a world championship for the first time in front of a live crowd.
It was a cool moment. I'm glad he got to celebrate. Didn't get to celebrate for long.
No, he gets to go over to his wife, which he also went over to his wife during his entrance and tweeted, "Bored at work."
Oh my God, yeah. So when he comes down, he like goes over to his wife. His wife hands him his phone. He leans against the barricade and just tweets something. I couldn't tell if he was taking a picture or tweeting, but came out later that he was tweeting, "Bored at work, LOL." I love that.
I saw a tweet later in the night from somebody being like, "I'm leaving after that bullshit. What the fuck? Why are we
here?"
Oh,
yeah. You got really triggered. Like, the fuck is stupid.
What the fuck? And then I realized, I think it's from like Drew's brother. And I'm like, oh, okay. That works.
Never mind.
But yeah, so Drew has this nice moment. And I was looking at the screen for this. There's a great little camera shot of him just like, him goes from enjoying the moment to just like, "That little motherfucker CM Punk's over there, isn't he?
I'm gonna go talk shit to that motherfucker."
So talk shit for like an awkward amount of time. Punk eventually trips him up on the commentary table, hits him with his arm brace.
Takes the arm brace off. He's back, motherfucker. CM Punk is ready.
No, he's not.
That was the vibe, though.
Yeah. It's the same vibe as Austin coming out at Backlash 2000. I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're totally gonna wrestle on Raw, right?" No.
He might. We don't know. So this is enough to knock Drew out to where he's like stumbling and he's like, "Whoa."
And then Damian Priest comes out, cashes in Money in the Bank.
Biggest pop ever.
Throws Drew in the ring, hits a choke slam, pins him, new World Heavyweight Champion again. So Drew's moment of celebrating is cut short.
Amazing. You had never seen a cash in before. So
no,
this was
I missed Dolph's by one night. I was like, damn it.
This is a really cool moment.
Only the second time they've ever been a cash in at WrestleMania.
Wow.
First time it's been a cash in WrestleMania after a match.
True. And a successful one at that.
Priest goes up the ramp. Judgment Day is there to celebrate. Big mom and dad are making it work for the kids. Keep the family together.
Yeah.
Because I kept thinking, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, they lost a bunch of matches. They're going to break up. And the fact that they all came out to celebrate, I'm like, they might stay together.
Yeah, I think they're staying together.
They're making it work. At least until Dom goes to college. Oh, but yeah, no, this was an amazing start to the show.
Oh my God.
Like, the energy was just like...
It was perfect energy. This was like, get fucking ready, because this is going to be a night.
Also, I was like spitefully enjoying myself. I'm like, said the crowd sucks. We're doing great tonight. We're warm. Match number two of night two. It is the Pride versus the Final Testament in a Philly street fight.
These are two names of teams as well that they just don't roll off the tongue for me.
No. To the point where I literally have to keep double checking. I'm like, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits are known as the Pride,
the
right?
Pride,
I feel like they don't call them that all that often.
Right.
And then the Final Testament is Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain.
Why don't they just call them the fucking Authors of Pain? Why do we have two different team names?
Because the Authors of Pain are a tag team before they join Karrion Kross.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
You're just annoyed that this is a Philly street fight.
Yeah, I hated the whole idea of this match. I get annoyed. Like, we had a whole debate about this yesterday. I get annoyed when matches are not named appropriately for what the match is. This is called a Philadelphia street fight. Now, if you've never been to Philadelphia and you don't know anything about Philadelphia, Philadelphia likes to throw down. So a Philadelphia street fight, you would think, is like a little more intense. Maybe we're going to the fucking street. Maybe we're having a street fight. No. We barely even left the ring.
My counter to this is that a street fight is a very established type of match. So you expecting them to do something different from the other 1,000 street fights is a little bit on you. As opposed to the Nigerian drum match, which was a new match type.
We're not going to talk about the Nigerian drum match. My question to you is, fine, the street fight is established, whatever. Why would they call this a street fight and not a no-holds-barred match? Why are they calling this a street fight and not a hardcore match, not a
Branding.
No-DQ match?
Branding.
That's not a good enough answer.
I think you could have gotten away with calling it an Extreme Rules match.
I think that would have been perfect.
But it's branding. I mean, we watched at WrestleMania 13, there was the Chicago street fight.
Yeah, they didn't go to the fucking street.
They never do.
The thing that bothers me even more than all of this, like, fine, it's a no DQ, false count anywhere, whatever match. The Rock and Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns got farther away from the actual ring than the street fight match did.
I think that might be the fact that this match only goes 8 minutes and the Rock's one went 45.
Neither here nor there. You can do a lot in 8 minutes.
By the way, there is a special guest commentator and special guest referee for this, because
yes.
I predicted that the Final Testament were going to win, and then all of a sudden there was a special guest ref, and I'm like, well, motherfucker, the
faces are winning now. Well, the special guest commentator was la-di-da-di-da. It's that motherfucking D-O-double-G, Snoop Dogg.
Unfortunately, Shane McMahon was not here to tear his quad.
I was so ready.
Stephanie came out, and you're like, tear your quad, do it. I'm like, Jesus.
Finish the story.
It's ready for Declan to come out.
But the guest referee was also really fucking cool, and I popped pretty hard for
it. Yeah, it was Mr. Bubba Ray Dudley.
Master of hardcore himself. Mr. Bubba Ray.
Yeah, as soon as he came out of the ref, I'm like, well, motherfucker. Yeah. The faces are winning.
Yeah. It was really cool. I was, of all the people to come out, I was not expecting Bubba Ray Dudley. I know he was at the Hall of Fame on Thursday or Friday, but still.
Yeah. This was a pretty standard street fight, some weapons, some big moves. They did actually make the most of their 8 minutes. They did. I had very low expectations for this match going in. And I was like, oh, actually, I kind of wish this went a few more minutes.
Oh, definitely. And we did get the Dudley moment of all of the people on the Pride kind of shove each other. And then Bubba Ray go, get the tables!
Yeah, except in recent years, he wants the crowd to be more involved, so he starts counting down.
Yeah, he counts and I'm like, down. It's not as fun.
Yeah, he did that in his last WWE run, too. I'm like, just do it.
Just get the tables. Yeah. Just get them.
So they get the tables, and the table just collapses when they play Karrion Kross
on
it. So they get another table.
Not sturdy.
Yeah, they get another table. Karrion Kross gets frog splashed through it. The Pride win. This was good.
This was fun.
I really didn't think I was going to want this to get more time, especially with the show going a little short.
Yeah.
I feel like you could have given this another 5 minutes.
Definitely. That's why I really think there was a Meek Mill performance slated, and then something happened, because the show did go short.
Oh. He might be involved in the Diddy scandal.
And we didn't learn that until last fucking night.
I think they announced it on Raw, so I'm wondering...
That's not even a week ago. That was like 3 days ago.
Raw's Monday, so.
Oh, fuck. Raw's Monday. That really? Jesus Christ.
Okay, this article's from the 26th, so they should have known.
They should have known. Oh, my God.
If that's true. Maybe it's that.
If that's true, damn. Shame on WWE. Didn't do an ounce of research.
But he's still the one narrating the opening video, though.
Yeah, well, because they probably shot that a long time ago, and they're like, well, fuck, we don't have time to reshoot
this. Bring
back
Keith David, man. He's still kicking.
Oh my God, I hope that's not true, because that's embarrassing if it's true.
Backstage, we get a very few of these.
Very few.
Paul Heyman gets interviewed and asked, what the fuck are Bloodline rules? And he's like, come on, it's whatever we want.
The beginning of this segment did make me laugh, though, because Kayla Braxton starts it, and she's like, congratulations on getting into the Hall of Fame, and to congratulate you, I'm going to ask you a question. And the whole time, Paul Heyman's like, this is how I get congratulated. You ask me a fucking question. Like, that's my congratulations. What a little prick. I love him. I love him so much.
Him and Roman were good in the press conference after night one.
Were they?
Roman's like basically like wants like everyone to actually acknowledge him before asking a question.
Mm.
And he does something and somebody like boos him. He's like, get her out of here.
Oh, I did hear that. Yeah. Like, he actually kicked somebody out. He's like, no, I'm serious. Get out.
But yeah, so Bloodline rules are just, it's no DQ, it's going to be whatever they want.
See, I'm actually better, I feel okay more about how Paul Heyman sold this. I'm like, come on, it's whatever it is, whatever you want. Like, except, I'm fine with that.
Except after night one, you were like, it's always been Bloodline rules.
It has always been Bloodline rules. Not. Yes, it's always
because
Bloodline
they have to
rules.
Go around the ref.
There are always interferences. There are always people running in. It's always Bloodline rules.
Yes, but now we don't have to pretend to distract the ref.
Yeah, we don't have to distract the very obviously had a whole storyline about being crooked ref.
And like, it was literally 25 years ago.
I'll never forget.
You forgot when we met him.
Because he's just a little guy.
Our third match of the night is LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
Let me talk to you.
LA Knight coming out in the Slim Jim car, gives it to somebody at ringside. He's just like...
Oh my God, this couple at ringside, this is two older people. He hands her the keys with the big Slim Jim keychain on it. This woman has no idea what she signed up for. She does not understand what's happening. She doesn't know who this man is.
Big Miss NWO vibes off this.
Oh, hey? She was so confused. I was a little mad
what
that I didn't
get...
What would
you use to buff Buff's biceps?
I don't know. I was a little mad that I didn't get asked to be in the Slim Jim pit, whatever you wanted to call that, because I will sell a Slim Jim.
Yeah.
I fucking love a Slim Jim. Give me a Slim Jim. I'll make sure everybody else loves Slim Jim, too.
Well, except the Macho Man one.
I like regular Slim Jims.
AJ Styles got a new theme. I do not remember it.
I like the other one better.
Look, there was a lot going on last night.
There was so much happening. I think it was good.
Yeah. Same with this match. It was like, it was pretty good.
Well, this match did really get overshadowed. This is the match that got ruined by the crowd. So where we were sitting, and I think in another section in the stadium as well, there were two lights that were a little bit brighter, a little bit more white and kind of beamy lights that like could have been in your eye line, I guess, but they were above the ring off to the side.
Yeah. As somebody who works in lighting, I'm very defensive of like, just don't look directly at the fucking light. Because people are also taking photos like, look what a problem this is. And I'm like,
the picture
I'm like,
fine.
One, I see the ring fine. Two, yeah. Like, you're like zooming in.
I think we need to turn off our moth brains and stop going directly into the light.
Lamp.
But this whole match, I was having such a hard time focusing on it because everyone was chanting, turn the lights off. They're not going to turn the light
like,
off.
Like, I literally stood up at one point and I'm like, is it worse above me? Like, what the fuck? Like, people are like, everyone around me, I'm like, am I just in like the perfect seat?
No, there were people like a couple of seats down and in front of you that like came, turned to us and was like, is it a problem for you? And we're like, no.
No.
But the annoying guy in front of us, the second you put up a stink, he was like, I have sensitive eyes and some people can't get around it. I'm like, you're not, then don't look at the light. Stop looking at the light. Use your hand. Use the hand that God gave you to block the fucking light. It's not that long of a match. Yeah. You'll be fine.
But yeah, no, I've learned that it's Lycos. People don't like Lycos.
Oh my God.
But yeah, this match was, it was pretty good. It was nothing crazy special. The feud for this was still weird of just like, let's just keep attacking each other. Why? Who knows?
Yeah, I didn't really get that.
But LA Knight got, fine. Yeah, LA Knight got his WrestleMania moment, got a nice little win.
Yeah, that was good. I like LA Knight.
Yeah, I think everybody got a little worried for him once The Rock came back. Cause it's like, yeah, you cut a very similar style to The Rock.
Yeah.
So, and like everyone thought he was going to face Logan Paul, and then that didn't happen. And it's like, what are you doing with him?
Yeah. I mean, he's still very over with the fans. How many times did we yell, yeah?
Oh, yeah. So the thing going around like the like concourse was people going, yeah.
Yeah.
And then people going, yeet, no yeet.
Which, I mean, it's fun. I think that stuff is fun. Nick hates it. I was like...
Well, people were also going around being like, yeet or no yeet? And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
So whenever anybody would Ric Flair woo or do the yeah, I would participate. And Nick would look at me and be like, don't encourage them. I'm like, no, I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to have fun.
No, we've kind of said before that like if 70,000 Mies went to a show, it would be a horrible crowd.
Yes.
I acknowledge this.
Yeah, you are not a wooer. So at the end of this night, when you were screaming and losing your... The fact that you don't have a voice today, yeah. That's crazy to me. I loved it. I live for that energy.
So we're in the technical match number 5 because of the Damian Priest match. It is Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. title.
This was a fun match.
I guess we didn't really note the Prime logo in the ring.
So the
a
Prime
lot more
logo
subtle than the
is,
one they did.
Yes, it's not as intrusive. I thought it was going to be... The bright blue one or the red, white, and blue, like, very annoying.
Yeah.
But it was, like, clear. It was pretty, it was just, like, the outline of the bottle. It was really unintrusive.
I heard you say very annoying. I'm like, is that one of the flavors?
No.
But this is, like, mostly a handicap match for the first bit of it. And they kind of go, well, shit, we, like.
It
wasn't a, like, what, you're trying to win? It was, like, both are trying to win at once and it went, fuck, we have to fight, don't we?
Yeah.
It
started out with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, like, okay, we're going to team up and teach this motherfucker a lesson. And I think Kevin Owens did something to Randy, and Randy looked at him and was like, really?
Yeah.
Damn it. All right. Well, shit.
Well, they also, they also had the moment of, like, Logan pushes Kevin into Randy, and he's like, no, he pushed me. Randy's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
smart
faces. Logical. Like, oh, I love that.
We didn't talk about Logan's entrance, though. So Logan's entrance, there's not really a good way for there to be like a vehicle entrance on this stage. So Logan came out in the Prime car, which you thought was a DeLorean, but it was like a sports car looking thing with a giant ass bottle of Prime on the back. And he was using the Prime bottle as like a cannon.
Yeah.
And he shot the stage 3 times to set off the fireworks. And I was like, damn it, I hate that you're cool. I like this.
And he also had another Prime Bottle mascot with him.
Yeah. So if you'll remember, was it last year?
Yeah.
KSI was unmasked in the Prime Bottle. The same blue Prime Bottle.
And who was it this year?
It's a YouTuber named iShowSpeed. I thought it was KSI again, so I was upset. I was kind of annoyed. But this person, his name is iShowSpeed. I've never heard of this person, but I looked at their YouTube page. They have 23.5 million subscribers. I don't really know what he does.
He's 19 years old.
Yeah. I don't know what he does. I don't know how he amassed his following. I've never heard of him, but he has 23 million followers. So, like, obviously he's something.
So Logan ends up winning this triple threat. I think most people kind of thought he would. The story was kind of weird that, like, Randy and Kevin were almost too buddy-buddy for me to think, like, one was going to win.
Yeah. I wanted Logan to lose. I don't like that he's a champion. I want somebody to kick him down a little bit. This was a really fun match, though. I'm not mad. Like, I like watching these three wrestle.
Oh, yeah. These guys put on a...
awesome show.
Considering that SummerSlam is in Logan's hometown, I'm wondering, will we hold it until then?
In Puerto Rico?
In Cleveland.
I hate that they bill him from Puerto Rico. He's not from Puerto Rico. He moved to Puerto Rico to be an asshole.
Let's move into our second and last match. It is Io Sky versus Bayley.
Bayley.
I unfortunately missed part of Bayley's entrance because everybody sprinted to the bathroom in between. Yeah. Everyone thought we had a lot more time.
So this might just be me projecting.
Yes, it is. It is, Emily.
You're going to tell me that that was not an allusion to WrestleMania 9. Her entrance. You're going to tell me that she didn't watch WrestleMania 9 and be like, I want someone to carry me to the ring too. Come on. So the entrance was Bayley is carried on the shoulders of, I think, four men in Egyptian outfits. They have the like dog head masks and her outfit's got like wings. She's going for like a very Egyptian god sort of vibe. And she gets carried to the top of the ramp and then they put her down very gently and then she does the rest of the walk. But them carrying her was so Randy Savage in WrestleMania 9. I was like, you're telling me this isn't WrestleMania 9? You're telling me. I don't believe you.
That said, no Paramore.
Which is a bummer. I hoped.
I think part of it is, like, if she's not going to use it going forward, kind of what's the point?
Who's to say she wouldn't? We can change her theme.
Yeah, but, like, they need to pay for that then.
Yeah.
Also, their approval for like, saying, like, yeah, you can use it was so, like, middle of a live stream, not realizing, like, hey, can I use this or something? And they're like, yeah.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, Bayley, you can use this WrestleMania. I don't know. Like, they didn't know what the fuck WrestleMania was.
They might have. I don't know.
The vibe was they didn't know. I think they found out, oh, it's this massive, like, multi-million-dollar event. And they went, money, please.
I don't know. WWE's got that Netflix money now, so they can afford it.
Thoughts on this match?
I wanted it to be better. It was fine.
Yeah, another one that just had a weird build going in of like,
yeah.
They kind of had the one big moment and they didn't know where to go from there.
Yeah. I'm really happy that Bayley won. I really didn't think she was going to.
She needs a new finisher.
She does. It ended very quickly, it felt.
I don't know that it ended quickly, but like, it kind of got to a spot where like, cool, Bayley's going to win. And then she hit three moves, like back to back to back of like very different types. And then one, it was like, oh, it just felt like you could have just done one of these and would have been better off. It almost cut off your momentum of winning.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Bayley gets the win at WrestleMania.
It's cool.
I forget which one is the WWE Women's Champion, which one is the Women's World title. I think this is the WWE.
I think this is the Women's Championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really could have seen this one going either way, which is weird because I'm like, Io Sky's reign didn't do a ton for me. She's apparently only defended the title like once this calendar.
Really?
In 2024.
Oh, wow.
Like, or at least televised. Like, even on house shows, she's like barely defending it. So, I don't know. They just like ran out of steam with her and wanted to do the story, I guess.
Probably. Yeah, I think they ran out of what to do with her.
But that brings us to our night two main events. It is Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Bloodline rules for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship.
Oh, my God.
And
finish the goddamn story.
Yeah, parts of this weekend, I remember thinking, I'm like, you know, I think I could just kind of watch... Like if it came back next year, would I want to go back or just watch from home? And then the main event happened, and I went, oh, I'm so fucking glad I'm here.
Mm-hmm. This is a really amazing moment to be in person for. certain things just really hit differently in person.
Yeah, like this had the WrestleMania main event feel.
This is going to be on top 10 lists.
Yes, this is a interesting match because it was great when it happened live, and I don't know how well or poorly it's going to age. Because I think it might be one of those you really had to be there.
Maybe, yeah, or at least like watching it live. I know what you mean.
Because this match is paced like it's going to go for a long while.
I was ready for it too.
Yeah, we were taking bets of like time to interference, and we set it at like 10 minutes. You took the under. I don't think anyone interfered for like 20 minutes.
20, yeah.
But yeah, we get Jimmy Uso interfering first. Jay comes out to even the odds. Spears him like off the stage.
Off the ramp, yeah. The person next to us was like, is Jay going to like yeet Jimmy? And then it happens. I looked at him like, yeah, he is.
Somewhere around here, we get Cody hitting the two crossroads again. Go for the third. Solo Sikoa comes out, attacks Cody. They do the Samoan Spike spear combo. Cody kicks out. Then we get John Cena coming out.
Oh my God, that was a big pop. We didn't, because we knew there was going to be legend interference. We didn't know who and we didn't know when.
Yeah.
So when John Cena's music hit, I was like, okay, it's happening. We're doing it. It's time to go. That was a wild moment. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah. It was just like an out of body experience almost of just like, oh my fucking God, John Cena's here now. Like,
hits the attitude adjustment on Solo through the announce table.
Yes.
Then the Rock's music hits. He does the stare down with John. We get the fucking jackass with the two face signs ruining the camera shot.
It didn't ruin it as much tonight. I didn't even notice it as much that night.
The Rock takes out Cena. We then get the Shield music hitting.
And so everyone was really confused when the Shield music hit because we were all like, oh my God, it's a Shield. And then my brain was like, oh my God, Dean Ambrose?
Yeah. And then, I think everyone kind of had that moment.
And then everyone started looking around the stadium of like, it's the Shield. Where are they coming down from?
And we're all looking around and then we look and Seth Rollins is just like passed out on the
mat. We're like, oh shit, we missed it.
Like, remember like the Grimace Shake meme where it just cuts to you like passed dead, out? Yeah. It's kind of that. Seth couldn't get it done. So who's here to make the save instead? The gong hits. Oh, and
my God.
As loud as it was on TV, it was even louder in person.
Talk about an out-of-body experience. When that gong hit, I almost collapsed to the floor. Yeah. I was like, what?
I think everyone was kind of expecting Austin. And
everyone
was
expecting the glass break, and we heard the fucking gong. And we're like, what the fuck? And then it gets completely dark.
Yeah.
And then like the lights come back up, and there's just Undertaker in his biker-taker garb standing behind The Rock. It was just like, there's no way I'm watching this happen right now. There's no way The Undertaker is in the ring in 2024 for this match. There's no way.
He chokeslams The Rock.
Gong hits again. Lights go out. Lights are back up. He's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
And Rock has gone to ringside at this point.
Oh, it was so good. I was like, I was physically shaking at this point. I was like, what the fuck?
Seth, Roman, and Cody are all getting up. Roman grabs a chair, has to decide which one to hit. Opts to hit Seth in the like, identical way to like the Shield moment.
Even the way he like recoils.
Seth literally falls with like the neck hitting the bottom rope. Like I was reading something of just like at the end of the day, he's still that same little insecure fucker from 2014.
So somebody had this like whole philosophy essay on Twitter, and it was basically after that moment is when Roman really turned and became like, it is all about family. Like, I am all about my family because the family are the people that you can kind of predict what they're going to do. Like, you can kind of work them to do what you want for them. And he saw Seth as his family. They were like brothers. And when his brother turned on him, he was like, okay, blood only. Blood can't turn on me like that. And that's what created the bloodline. So this being the final moment was kind of closing that story.
Yeah, but the bloodline shit doesn't happen for like 5 years after.
It's the psychology of it. I really like that story. I think that's awesome.
So Cody managed to actually hit the three crossroads and finally pins Roman Reigns.
It didn't feel real.
Finishes the story. End the title reign. It's over.
It did not feel
real. We got in the car. I played the fucking the
Star Wars.
Yeah, the Star Wars. Like end of A New Hope. All you know, everyone gets medals besides Chewie.
I didn't have any words to say at that point. It was
what
do you even say? Like
yeah,
his shoulders stayed down, and he like stayed down for a minute too. He didn't even like pop right back up. it felt completely unreal.
A bunch of the locker room comes out. Cody gets his Bret at WrestleMania 10 moment up on the shoulders.
Yeah.
I was still convinced Rock was going to challenge him. I thought there was going to be one more match, especially because it was like 10:30 and I'm like,
yeah, it was only like 10:35 when this ended. It felt like something else should have happened, but I mean,
he presents the title belt to his mom.
Beautiful moment. Brandy comes out to celebrate with him in the ring.
Oh yeah, she was also part of his entrance.
She was part of his entrance. His entrance was so cool. We didn't even talk about his entrance. He had like a different Titantron with like more almost Mad Max vibes. And then he comes out from the stage on that like lifting platform wearing this like skull mask. And then Brandy just appears next to him and she's looking hot as hell. And he looks hot as hell. And they're this like fucking power couple. And then at the end of the match, she comes out and she's the first person to celebrate with him in the ring. And it's just so perfect.
Yeah.
It was so perfect.
Punk comes out at one point. Mm-hmm. We're in a suit. We thought it was Nick Aldis about to announce something.
Like, I was so prepared. I saw him running down the ramp and I was like, who is that? That's Nick Aldis. What's going to happen? Because there was so much time left.
Yeah.
But no. But, you know, CM Punk.
The heels just go up the ramp and disappear.
The end.
Cody brings out Bruce Pritchard to Triple H. Pritchard gets booed.
So why does Bruce Pritchard get booed?
He's just generally annoying and a dick. Okay. And kind of part of that McMahon inner circle.
They are really pushing like Paul Levesque is the hero of WWE.
A little bit.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah. I think that'll be done after tonight.
I hope so. Oh, man. What a show. What a night. That was amazing.
I don't know where this stacks up as like best main events. I think we'll have to like reevaluate in a year. That said, night two of WrestleMania, much better than night one.
Blue night one out of the park, yeah.
We didn't give a ton of time to LA Knight and AJ Styles and then Bayley and EO, but like they're a lot better than the Mysterio tag match and brother versus brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe us being a little warmer might help too, but
definitely.
Overall, this was a very good WrestleMania.
It was. I'm really glad this is the one that we went to.
I think once again, there's a director's cut of this that you could trim it down and have one of the best WrestleManias ever.
Probably.
I've said it before, WrestleMania is a little bit overrated. When you actually look at the list of best WrestleManias, there's usually a decent amount of bad on those shows. It's kind of why like WrestleMania 17 is deemed to be the best. Cause I'm like, yeah, even the worst thing there is like a China squash match.
Yeah.
And the gimmick battle royal, which I fucking love. But I think this might end up being a top five WrestleMania for people. It wouldn't shock me.
I'm interested to watch this in my WrestleMania watch through, like in a year when I get to it. How does it hold up?
Yeah,
I'm interested. Well,
we'll probably watch it just for like commentary and just to revisit everything.
Yeah, what a show! What a time!
But it's time to do our usual deal. It's best bit, worst bit, and MVP. Emily. I think we both probably have the same best bit. I think the other two might differ. I don't know. But Emily, what is your best bit?
It's got to be the main event.
Yeah.
That finished the damn story.
Yeah, Cody versus Roman is the best bit of the WrestleMania. Yeah. Like, was him losing last year worth it for this moment?
I don't know. I'm going to say no, because last year should have been this. I mean, I guess it wouldn't have been as big, but last year was just such a slap in the face that made it really hard to be a wrestling fan for the next calendar year.
I think last year would have been a little more palatable if Roman had a better year in between. I think that hurt it, is that he had a boring fucking year.
Definitely.
Emily, what is your worst bit?
I didn't really think about this, so I don't have one right off the bat.
Technically, we don't have to give a worst bit. We haven't done that in a while.
I don't think I want to. Yeah. There were a couple that were like way more mid than the others, but I don't think there's anything that really warranted a worst bit.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Jimmy and Jay for mine, because it was what I was worried the match was going to be. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the highest hopes. I'm like, again, I compared it to Matt versus Jeff. I'm just like, you guys just don't have the chemistry you think you do.
Yeah.
And Emily, who is your MVP?
I feel like it has to be Cody. I don't think it's any of the people who ran in. Yeah, I'm going to give it to Cody.
I'm going to give honorable mention to Cody, but I'm going to give MVP to the reason I don't have a voice today, and that's The Undertaker.
He was there for a total of 10 seconds.
You've given it to shit for less.
Oh, fair. God. I guess that's fair.
Also, honorable mention to Sammy.
Sami Zayn, yeah.
Yeah, there's so much good.
There was so much good on this show. Yeah. It's so hard to pick one.
You know what? I'm talking myself out of it.
Seth, everyone was so good.
I'm giving it to Cody for taking us on a two-night story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can't get Undertaker in reality. It was.
He can be honorable.
It was awesome, but yeah, it was like 20 seconds. Yeah, yeah. Cody for doing the telling the story over two nights, yeah. And you know, maybe technically even longer.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's it for our WrestleMania 40 review. Next up, coming tomorrow, is our return to Nitro.
This has been a hell of a week for the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Yeah, luckily I've already edited that, so I don't have to. But if you're really feeling really impatient and need more of our voices, actually, especially when we actually have them, You listen to our previous WrestleMania reviews as well as the rest of our back catalog, pretty much everywhere podcasts are found besides SoundCloud. And you can follow us at Butts in the Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Threads. On Facebook, we're Butts in the Seats Podcast. Are technically out now on our Patreon. I kind of lost track of the scheduled release.
Yeah.
We are back to doing TNA Impact, the new Monday Night Wars. And let me tell you, it feels very similar to WCW.
Yeah. But it's still fun. So if you're interested in that, head over to our Patreon. Same as everywhere else.
Heroes of Wrestling's over there too. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/buttsintheseats. Hogan Knows Best is coming up over there.
Hell yeah, brother.
Emily, any final closing thoughts? We don't know what's going to happen on Raw tonight.
No, I'm really excited to watch Raw. This was so cool. I'm so glad that we actually got to go to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I know there were a couple of times during the weekend that you looked at me and you were just like, I'm so happy you're excited to be here.
Yeah. I'm happy I'm not dragging you to this.
Absolutely not. I had the time of my life. It was so incredible.
To the detriment of the row in front of us.
Yeah, whatever.
But until we hopefully see you tomorrow for Nitro, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.